What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and this is The God Show. Let's go. And today, we have a very special guest. Before I get to my guest, shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to Tote and Carry. Shout out to Two Loss Distribution. By the way, brother, if you need to put records out, you should go through Two Loss. I can get you some favor over there. I know you're still making hits. And shout out to Tote and Carry. And shout out to you for watching, share, subscribe, everything. But I ain't gonna lie to you. This is one of them days where I'm about to interview someone that I'm really a fan of. So I might fan out a little, but I think it's natural for y'all to see. Like, this dude really is one of my GOATs, producer-wise. Amazing. Everybody give it up for Bink. Let's go. Welcome to The God Show, brother.
Oh, man, that was warm.
Thank you, man. It's always warm here because I'm a fan, and I'm a fan of this shit. I understand how hard it is. I understand a lot of people see the flavor, like, oh, the flavor of the week. Oh, look what they're doing. They don't understand the time missed with family, the time missed away from your kids, the time for everything you do. 5% of it really pays for the other 95%, but you still got to give the whole 100%. The same amount of effort, because you don't know which one is going to work.
That part.
So when I see people like yourself, I'm always like, I always want to give you guys, we don't do credit on flowers on the show. We do credit. I don't give nobody flowers. Flowers is for when niggas die. I want to give you credit, because there's somebody right now that's watching that don't know you're the soundtrack to their life. The crazy thing is that I just found out a little bit more when I was in my office just like preparing. I'm like, I didn't know he did that. I didn't know you did All My Life Freeway. I didn't know you did the Blackstreet.
Don't leave.
Right. I didn't know that. So I was literally doing my homework. I'm like, damn, this nigga really is a soundtrack to a nigga life. So Bink, welcome to the show, man.
Appreciate you, bro.
So let's talk about how Bink started. Like, what was your position? Like, how did you get into the business? Like, what was your break in, your way in?
I think the culture alone it was overwhelming for me. Like, I was engulfed, you know what I mean? Like, it's for the, you know, the break dance into the...
Oh, you break dance?
What?
Where you from again?
Norfolk.
Okay, Norfolk, right. Virginia.
Absolutely.
I need to know what's in the water. We're going to get into that. I want to know what's in the water.
Right. So, you know, just the whole culture of just everything about hip hop, just to the dressing, the belt buckles, the shell toes, like... I was all in, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
But I never had dreams of being a producer. Mm. That's the irony to my story.
Mm. What was your dream?
To be a longshoreman or merchant seaman or on the railroad.
Hold on, what? So how'd you get into producing then?
From the country, bro. That's, you know, that's the guys I saw getting money. Yeah. Think about it. You know what I'm saying? Those were your heroes locally.
Yeah.
Outside the dope, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I always said my dream was to come to work dressed like this every day.
That part.
By the way, look at how Bink is dressed. It's no better than coming to work dressed the way you want to, not having to wear a uniform. Come on, man. That's why it's best.
But yeah, so I started playing drums in church when I was 8.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my mom, Miss Avery.
Shout out to your mom.
Yeah, shout out to my mom, Carolyn. She was cleaning up one day, and she used to have gospel music just blasting in the house. So I had 2 coat hangers. And I was beating on the recliner.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess she was like, hold on, this nigga on beat.
So Your mom heard it.
Mom.
Oh,
like,
wow.
She's like, yo, he's like, she's seeing me, I'm beat for beat with the song playing. So she's like, hold on. And I'm beating on a recliner, mind you. No drum. This is a recliner with 2 coat hangers. So next thing I know, we at my aunt's house, and they dragging these drums out the attic. I'm still not getting it. I don't know what's going on.
Are you 8 years old?
8 years old.
Shout out to your mom. By the way, we need more parents. I about to say, nah, because I always tell people, I'm like, whatever your child wants to do, this, I don't care if they 7, make them dive into it. Because look at it like this, by the time they 10, they a 3-year veteran, and they 10.
She was the choir director, though.
Yeah, oh, so she knew, oh, you was locked in, anyway. We had no choice.
I'm still not know what's going on.
You going to be a drummer in the choir. Listen, okay, that's what it was.
I'm thinking they just getting a nigga some drums.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah. So,
next thing I know, I mean, you know, I'm in church with Vaseline on my face with a bow tie playing drums. Like, what?
You just said it in the air. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I think from there, I started taking interest in DJing.
Mm.
So I started DJing locally. Like, this is junior high school, like, you know, doing like little house parties and stuff. But then there's always like this little drum machine that was circulating called the Dr. Rhythm way back. And it was like these little, you know, 808 sounds on it, you know, just making your little drum. No samples, just all drums.
Yeah.
And I just remember how intrigued I was.
Yeah.
But I never had enough money to have my own. So it was just only when church. I would see one, I could.
Yeah.
You know, then I had a friend of mine that got one.
Yeah.
So I'm at this crib like, yo, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to come around tomorrow and play that drum machine. So it was like, but I was always better than them.
Yeah. So you had the gift. It was their shit, but you had the gift.
But I'm still not like.
Peeping that it's something more for like, you. Yeah.
One day I'm going to do music.
Like, yeah.
I'm still like, yo, I just want to make sure I can get on this Longshoreman corner so I can get this bread.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And
that's crazy.
You know what I mean? But also, one of the best failures in my life.
Mm.
I call it one of the best.
I was about to pause and say, for everybody listening, if you have, notice what he said, one of the best failures.
Yeah,
let's
best
go.
Failures
I love that
life.
You said that.
I failed the ASVAB test.
I took
military. I took it for the Army.
What'd you get? You remember? I got a 67.
It was low.
I got a 67, and I thought it was low, but they was like, you barely.
I think
you had to get a 63. You had to get a 63. I got a 67.
Listen,
yeah.
The best failure in my life. Because you got to understand, I graduated in 1990.
Yeah.
Right? That's Desert Storm.
Yeah. Oh, so it's the war.
All my friends who passed.
Oh.
Nigga, they was in Richmond the next week taking their physical.
Wow.
2 weeks from then, they was in basic training. Shipped off to Iran, never to be seen again for like 2 years.
Damn.
Straight. So it was like, man, that would have changed the whole trajectory of my life.
I tell that story all the time, don't I? I'm like, I took the ASVAB test.
Right.
I signed up for the Air Force.
Right.
And
you a smart nigga.
Yeah, I'm smart nigga. Okay. I went to the Air Force and I passed the test. I didn't know I was gonna pass, but I passed it. And then my recruiter called me the next morning at 6 a.m. Like, you passed the test. I'm like, oh, thank you, man. I'm like, sleep, man. I just got out of school. Thanks, man.
Right.
He was like, man. I was like, I'm going to go back to sleep. He said, nah, you can go sleep, man. You need to stay up, man. You got to get used to waking up at 6 a.m. every day. I was like, I don't want to do this. Nigga, I just got out of school waking up every morning. Y'all about to make me wake up at nothing. Like, I just went through 17 years, 18 years. I'm good on. And that's why I didn't go to the Army. That's why I didn't go to the Air Force. That's exactly why I didn't go. So I'm like, I understand where you at with it right now.
So I think from DJing, is a natural evolution to evolve into producing, because all DJing does is train you how to produce.
Yeah, because you know, you pay attention to how it's the movement of the people. It's like tempo, BPMs, arrangement, everything.
Music is a moment.
Yeah,
right. So
couldn't have said it better.
Each record has a certain energy that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
So as a DJ, you learn these energies, so you know what records to go to when you're trying to invoke certain.
Mm, I love
you
that.
Feel me?
I never heard it put that way so simply. Like, music is energy.
Right.
So every time you put a song out, you put an energy in the world, whether you like it or not.
It's a vibration, whether you like it or not. You know what I'm saying? So as a DJ, you understand what vibrations when you're playing. Like, if you DJing for a wedding reception while people eating, you know what to play.
Mm-hmm.
Because all these got the same type of vibrations.
You know
what I mean? Or whereas when you want people to get in the dance floor, you're like, okay, I got to play the Benjamins right quick.
Yeah.
Lean back. You know, something.
So shout out to D-Dot.
Right, so it's like these type of records have these type of energy that that makes people be like, it's urgent.
Yep.
So it's like DJing just shows you how to.
And then were you the type that got into the technicality part of it, like to understand the science of it all? Like, even when you hear Benjamin's, like, why is Benjamin so urgent? Like, why is song so, like, it's like they're, I mean, obviously that you have these new companies, AI companies, that's like they can predict hit records and they understand that. But I'm just wondering, like, from a DJ standpoint, like, have you ever thought about like seeing the crowd react? Cause that's how I learned. Just so the way we learned. So I developed my guys, but I didn't know I was developing them. If I'm being honest with you, we was just broke as fuck. And I'm like, Nigga, y'all gotta write better songs. We gonna sell one. We gonna die soon if we don't sell a song. So it was more like the intros are too long. Then I play it for somebody and somebody will say, oh, that's off. And I'm like, oh, that's off. That's why. My only requirement anytime I met with somebody as a young nigga was why. You know, I don't like it. Why? Like, is it? Because sometimes you don't know. You like it all, but you sometimes need somebody to say if this was better. So you being the DJ first coming to production, and even when I think about your sound, because that's what I was gonna ask you. I was gonna be like, what if, like, your sound is so unique, bro? Like, it almost feels like it's complete, but it's naked. But it feels like it's just crazy. It's almost like you make perfect rap beats for rappers.
I mean, because you got to leave space for them to paint. You know what I'm saying? I can't come in here with a full-ass painting. Like, we can just tag it at the bottom corner or some shit.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? So you gotta, you know, leave him some room to paint also. So it was like, you know, once he paints,
yep,
then I go back in and add around that.
Because now you know how, now you know how to complete, because now you know what the lyrics are. You might want to add a drop. Yeah.
I gave you a beat. Now I turn it into a record.
You turn it into a song. Now I'm going to turn it into a record.
That part.
Love that. So what inspired you? Like, where you get your sound from, bro? Like, I'm like, I want you to understand something. When I heard my first introduction to Bink was Jay-Z, All I Need. And the blueprint to me is in his top three albums, whatever you want to say. But it is his probably most important.
Right.
Because it's the album that broke him out, right? It was the album that he finally had a signature sound. It was the album that he finally had a, like his identity.
Right.
And when you hear it and you hear the rulers back and it's like, dun, 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 the horns that you add, just like very subtle, like not like overpowering. And then you get to All I Need and it's naked, but it feels like it's supposed to be that way. Like,
right.
What's your thought process?
My thought process, the number one rule for me is to have none.
Is the what?
Have none.
Have nothing.
That's my rule.
What you mean?
There is no rule to making music.
Oh, have none, meaning there's no rules. Okay,
just,
got you.
Whatever
got you.
Feel good I love for that. Me, that's just it.
As long as it feel good,
that's
perfect.
It. I don't care about anything else.
Yes.
Because I feel like I'm a good judgment of music.
Yeah.
So I just feel like this is dope. And
yeah.
I'm just, and don't do shit else. Leave it. Like, think about grinding. Like, what's in grinding? It's just, like, right. It's like,
four or five
it's
sounds,
just
yeah.
Pretty,
yeah.
But look at what it did.
It's crazy.
Or look at Come Clean, J. Rule.
Yeah.
Look at the simplicity of that.
Yin Yang Twins, Whisper Song.
Whisper, doom, come on, bro.
Doom, doom.
Like,
that's just simple,
it's,
yeah.
It's all a vibe. So that's why I say, you know, there is no right and wrong way to do music, but there is good and bad music.
Okay, so there's not a right way, but it's a good and bad music. I want you to elaborate on that a little bit.
Right?
I understand what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
I ain't never heard anybody say it like that. I love that. But now I want you to elaborate. I want the people to understand.
Your way is your way.
Yeah.
You feel me? And that's what I keep trying to teach the young dudes, like, that's the biggest flex.
Yeah.
Is doing something your way.
Mm.
That's the biggest flex.
That's incredible.
You know what I'm saying?
That's incredible. I never looked at it. I mean, it's so crazy because you say a lot of stuff I say, but you say it different. I'm like, that is real. I've never looked at it.
I mean,
it like
because
that.
Think about it, bro. Like, nobody's drawing with a blank canvas anymore.
Nobody.
You feel me? It's like, it's more so of a, it's always a for instance on the table.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's like, and I always tell them, like, you guys, you never give your own ears a chance to shine. You don't even give them a chance.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you have to be this.
Yeah. Like, you chasing other people's.
Right.
What do you want?
Right. Come to the table with a blank piece of paper, bro. And your paint brushes or whatever you paint, and just come blank and actually paint.
So let me ask you. So with your, you came from the era where producers were just considered just like our executives. You was behind the scenes.
Right.
Now you have producers that are like in the front all the time. Like, if you could look back at your career and say, cause you gotta, and I say this respectfully, you have to be a hip hop head to care who produced something.
That part, enthusiast.
And you also have to be a hip hop. Now you have to care about a song and go look at the credits. And I remember hearing All I Need, and I remember thinking, you know, like, because the blueprint felt like Kanye started the album. This, by the way, I'm only speaking from a fan standpoint.
Bro,
when I talk to Dame,
you are spot on.
So
right
it
now.
Felt like the blueprint is where the blueprint is like Kanye said, here's the theme. And it felt like you found your own space in it, which is interesting because back then you thought only two people did the album, it was Just Blaze or Ye. So I had to go look at the credits specifically for songs that I like because I was like, who did that? Because it felt in line, but it felt different. It felt like a nigga from Virginia. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, it was like, y'all unique with y'all sounds, like Pharrell, all of that shit.
I mean, because at the end of the day, there was never a meeting of the minds for Blueprint.
Like,
we never had a conversation.
It looked like that.
What the direction was going to be or whatever.
Yeah.
Kanye was Kanye, Bink was Bink.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So, Jay had a Kanye beat CD.
Yeah.
He went to the studio one weekend, did five songs.
Yeah.
Blueprint was born.
Ace of the Izzo was in those five songs, yes.
Right. So now, he leave the Louis store.
Yeah.
Now he go to the Gucci store.
Now we know the high price. Now we know the price range. But everything
I'm just saying,
yeah.
But he just left the Louis store. He just bought five
from Kanye. Out yes.
There. So now he coming to the Gucci store.
Yes.
I sell him three jackets.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like.
Three of my favorite records though.
Right. But he was shopping for things that he knew that, you know, in stores that he knew he could find what he needed.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
So, I love that you put it that way.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the beauty of that. So there was no direction. It was just, I know what Kanye do, I know what Bean do. And they work together because it's both soulful.
Yeah. Soul producers.
Two different ways of being soulful.
Yeah. But still lines up.
Absolutely.
That's what made it so dope. It was kind of like your, it was kind of like, it's like the blueprint was, an album was a TV series. And you guys directed your show. So you directed the All I Need episode. You directed the Mama Loves Me episode. You see what I'm saying? But so the, everybody.
But the sequencing of the album, which I think was Guru and Hip Hop, the sequence of the album, I think that was important.
Yes.
As to how they did that.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So I always end up being the intro for some reason.
Yes.
So, but I remember the anticipation for that album was overwhelming.
It dropped on September 11th.
But regardless of that, it was like the people was just like, yo, like,
yeah,
slapping their vein for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Oh, what's up?
When yeah.
Like, so remember the bootleg was crazy back then.
Like a motherfucker.
So the bootleg was out. And,
I forgot. By the way, you young artists be happy y'all have to deal bootleg no more. That was the most treacherous time in the music business.
I mean, Spotify took their place.
But they giving you a point, a 0.0004 of it, nigga. A bootlegger would be selling your shit to you, nigga. $5.
But do me a favor though. Show me how to split a penny.
It's hard.
Okay.
It's hard. That's real.
That's all. I'm gonna leave that.
By the way, I'm 100% with you. And the music, and the reason why it's a penny, I'm gonna tell you the reason why it's a penny. The reason why it's a penny is because there was a young kid who created this website called Napster to save the music business. What he thought was to save the music business. And by the way, it was a lot of pirate shit happening on there. But he didn't do that for that. He did that to show the people, look at this file sharing. Look at how it works. Like, right. You don't have to press CDs anymore. Now it's on digital, on camera. And what happened was they said, you're a criminal, and treat him like one. And while they focused on punishing him, it's this other kid in Sweden developing this thing called Spotify with the same approach and technology. He just went to the labels first, unlike the kid from Napster who built it.
Oh, they were pissed off with Bill Gates for the CD burner.
No, I know. And no, you heard. Did you ever hear the story that they told with Jimmy?
Yeah.
Jimmy flew to meet with Steve Jobs, and Steve Jobs was like,
blew him off.
He was like, hey man, hey listen man, every business has to innovate or die. I don't want to hear that shit.
Nothing lasts forever.
Nothing lasts forever. And by the way, we're seeing that right now. If you pay attention, we're seeing that we're in the revolution of the change now, where it's like, even with music, like we had 3 years of bullshit, 4 years of bullshit. And then the niggas that hit the lottery, and the niggas that didn't. And if you're a true artist, if you're focusing on fans and money, then you're not a true artist. You're just a business person that wants to do music. But a true artist is an artist. Like at the end of the day, they create art for people. If the people like it, they like it. If they don't, that was the art I wanted to create. If y'all didn't like it, that's cool. I made what I wanted to make.
It's just a bunch of high-end recycling to me right now.
It is, man. It's
like nobody's really trying to push the envelope, bro. Like nobody's aspiring to inspire anymore.
Why you think that is?
Because it's easy. Like doing that type of music is easy.
I was about to say it. They have lowered the bar so much. Have anybody ever seen The Incredibles?
Yeah.
Okay, The Incredibles is one of my favorite movies, but it's a scene in The Incredibles where the kid who the father said, go away, kid, came back, and he was like, why are you doing this? He was like, because if I'm super and everyone's super, no one's super. And that's what's happened to the music business. There's no more, everybody's doing it, so no one's super no more. So now I think now we're tired of it. And to be honest with you, people like yourself, this is your moment. Like, this is your moment, because all you need is, based on your experience, one or two young producers, in case they got to understand and add with the drums. You oversee the young nigga. I mean, you are a label. Like, it's your time, because now I think artists are realizing it's too much going on and it's not working. So people like yourself, I told you the same thing to D-Dot. I told you to Sha Money. Like, guys like yourself who have been a part of building historic albums, artists, all of that shit. This now is the time, because now they want to hear what you got to say. Now they like, man, talk to Bink, man. Ask Bink what he think. Oh, now y'all care what he think. When y'all thought y'all was making money getting checks, cause it was like, fuck him. Now this shit ain't working. Bink, help us.
Man, listen, man, that's just how it always play like that. But I'm used to being over here thinking. You know, I'm always an out-of-the-box thinker. I was the only person complaining about Spotify 7 years ago. Mm. Man, like, oh, you old, you just mad, you bitter, you got to get used to how things are done now. And I'm just like, yo, this shit don't make sense to nobody but Spotify.
Nobody but Spotify in the music business. Right. And not in the music business, the three labels
right.
who they cut the deal with.
That part.
And now Spotify needs, and by the way, Spotify sold them out because they was like, because usually when you cut a deal with somebody, you got to give some kind of restrictions. Like, here's what the three labels get. Nigga, Spotify opens it for everybody. So it's like, they nigga, they ain't saying we only want to talk to Universal, Spotify, Universal, Warner, and Sony. They saying everybody come. So now the labels is getting flushed out now. Now they're concerned.
See, the thing is, what people didn't get was, they can give a damn about how many records you sell. We just want you to say you're subscribed.
Yep, we don't care. We don't care how many streams you get.
We don't give two shits but, if you don't listen to this shit 2 days.
But you know how the deals work though, right? Okay, so let me tell you how the deals work. So when Spotify went out to the labels to get their license, they agreed to give the labels. So Spotify gives the labels, three companies, Warner, Universal, and Sony, all three, 70% of their income, no matter how many streams you get. They give you 70% of their income. Now, yeah, that's how
give the label.
So if Spotify makes $100 million a year, right. and we're not streaming none of the label's music, Spotify still has to give the label $70 million at the end of the year.
Wow,
that's why you didn't know that, Jack. That's why the deals. Okay, so here's how they work. So that's why they got the three labels. So now here's how they split it up. They split it.
It's called a blanket license.
No, they split it. But here's how they split it. They split it according to their market share.
Right.
So if Universal has 40% of whatever it is, and it's $100 million, Universal gets $40 million. If Sony has 33, they get $33 million, and if Warner has the other 27 or whatever it is, they get the other $27 million. That's how they split the money up, and then they don't even know how to calculate. That's why they keep giving everybody advances. Because if I keep advancing you in a hole. So the reality is, the only people that really know how it work are these indie motherfuckers. These indie people who run distribution companies, who know how much money is really coming in. Because you got to look at it like this. One more thing I'm going to say. In early 2000s, if Jay-Z sold his album, because Jay-Z and Fab album came out the same day.
Right.
Number one, Def Jam decides how much they shipping of each one. They ain't shipping $500,000 of each.
Right.
They say we're going to ship 1 million Jay-Zs because right. we know we're going to get that. We're going to ship $500,000 Fab, whatever it is. But what was the cost? Jay-Z album might have been $19.99. Fab album might have been $12.99. Think about that for a second. Spotify doesn't pay Taylor Swift more because she gets streamed than they pay Bink. Spotify pays stream for stream. So now if you got a deal where you're making 8% on royalty and I got a deal, I'm making 75%, now it really matters. Because now it's like, for them it's like, we rather them stream his shit because he gets 8%. And we can keep advancing him, keeping him in the hole. Meanwhile, this guy's getting 70%. So what happens is that's why these labels pay so much for a viral song. Because if a song goes viral, all it takes is 750 million streams to equal 1% of a market share. So if you get 750 million streams, that's 1% you added to our market share. Think about that. 750 million streams, that's not a lot. That's not a lot. So if you got a record that's at 150 million, is that me? I'm sorry, guys. If you have a record that's at 150 million, right? 150 million streams, and of course they're gonna cut you a check. They're not gonna make money from your 750 million streams, though. You're gonna give them one put a marketplace. So now, I said that, now let's fast forward to Spotify.
Right.
Spotify, if y'all made 500 million this year, and y'all made 700 million last year, nigga, that 1% in market share is like $3 or $4 million. So now, well, you think I'm paying you three, but here's the mind fuck. I just got my $3.5 million back from you because you gave me my market share. But after 18 months, it's just catalog for me. So now I'm making you add it to my market share because it just keeps getting stacked on top. So that's why people don't know how much money they're making, because these labels, they don't give everybody the same deal. If everybody got the same deal, it'd be easy to do business. But nigga, everybody don't have the same deal. That's what makes it hard.
Not just that. I mean, my argument has always been, and I feel the same way about voting. How do you argue the numbers?
What you mean?
How do you ridicule the numbers? You have no way of ridiculing, and you can't pop the hood on nothing.
Of course. Well, you can.
Where?
Let me tell y'all something.
Would they show you? Yes.
No, but every artist, every creative, every label, everybody who has a deal with a major has a right to an audit.
Right. Well, it's the same, like they say, with even with Wall Street. They say nobody can read their books.
That's true, because it's buried in this shit. But here's the thing, the only thing about this is different is that you guys don't have your books, you guys have our books. Right. So now that's how 50 got out of his deal with Interscope. Nigga, he audited them.
But that's a different kind of audit.
Yeah, that's like it costs like $200,000, $100,000, $200,000.
You basically going through and just finding where you were negligent somewhere in the deal.
And they all were negligent.
Somewhere.
So if everybody audited them at one time, if one finance guy, if there was one fire chasing accountant finance guy that went to all artists and said, I'm about to audit all of them at once, that person will probably make about $300 or $400 million from that one audit, because the labels, by the way, the labels will probably pay them to go away. Hey, man. Come on, man. What the fuck is you doing?
He's pulling teeth to get an audit.
But you have a right to. And if you do it, they're fucked. If every artist on Universal audited them at the same time, we might see them fold. Because their whole point is they're holding money. And I know it's your money, but if it's in my bank account, who's making the money off the money?
Right. But at the end of the day, they said you got 3 million streams. You can't say, no, I didn't.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying.
That's true. Yeah.
How do we argue the numbers, bro? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like we give you what we tell you we get. This is what you're getting.
Yeah.
So we at the mercy of the court.
Yes. That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
That's all I'm saying.
It's a clusterfuck of shit. That's why. But if you pay attention, this is the first year ever that Universal was number one market share. They were number one, but they weren't the biggest moneymaker. You know what's the biggest moneymaker this year? Indie. And for the first time in history, Indie has made just as much money as Universal. Nigga, I tell you that the distributors are working. They're about to be exposed. That's what I'm basically saying. Like, because you're realizing how much these streams are really worth. That's the key to this shit. So when you guys were working on this stuff, like, I want to ask you a question, because it's always been, if I Google your name, it's always like you have a problem with a certain producer. I'm not going to say his name. Right. I don't want to bring his name up, because I'm a fan of his too.
Yes.
But because I'm on the inside, I do know that before there was a Drake, there had to be a Cardinal official.
Right.
I do know that. Somebody put on for Canada first that bust the door open down. So my thing, I manage writers and producers and creatives, and I mean, you wouldn't believe how many times I've been in the room with somebody. They was like, they biting my shit. Like, Teron always say, he was the first songwriter to ever put a tag on a song. And then every songwriter started doing it. But is he wrong? Is he right? I don't know. Was he the inspiration? So when I'm working with producers and writers, I'm always like, when you say you feel like someone bit your style, someone didn't contribute the way you do, my question is, where did you get that assessment from? That's what I want to know.
At the end of the day, as a producer, we don't get to go on stage and get people to scream for you and make you feel good about what you did. It's just all about.
I'm a diabetic and I don't know why my thing is going on. Go ahead, I'm listening to you. Go ahead, bro.
When people call you,
it's just saying my sugar is really low. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm fine. Trust me, I got it.
Hey, man, don't do this.
No, I got you. No, but my sugar is never low, so I'm like, that got to be something else, but don't worry about that.
Niggas.
Like, what, nigga? If it was high, that's when we should panic. It's low. That means I'm playing it safe then. Too safe. Yeah, well, I was asking, like, when you said you're a producer, what were you saying?
No, I'm just saying, as a producer, all you have is your sound. That's what makes you who you are.
Yep.
That's your stamp. That's your barcode. That's your thing. So it's like, that's what we pride ourselves on.
Mm.
As a musician, that's what I'm trying to say. As a producer, the biggest flex is to have something that sounds only like you.
What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, aka the Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister Tiffany Daniels Sai. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Mm. Like, what sounded like Timbaland before Timbaland came in?
Not a damn thing. And the Neptune, same thing. Swiss beats.
What sound beats? Like RZA? What sound like Swiss? What sound like Bone Thugs? What sound like Crucial Conflict?
Nothing.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Nothing.
But I'm just saying all of these different vibes were somebody thinking outside the box.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
But of course, once they put their record out, then the world attacks it.
Yes. They don't care who led. They just care what they like.
That part.
Yep.
So,
or sometimes was being pushed,
right?
Because that other person was in house, so it was probably more of a advantage to say, let's get your name out there, because they was pushing their guys.
Right.
Yeah.
If me and you, if we both selling lemonade on the block, right? You on this corner, I'm on this corner.
Yeah.
And my shit moving because I'm putting color ice cubes in there and red umbrellas.
Yeah.
You just selling lemonade.
Yeah.
Now next week.
I got blue umbrellas. Oh, that's a problem. That's a problem.
It's the same thing with music, bro.
Yeah.
Like, if I came in here using, tapping on the table, using the spoon for my hi-hat, and now you doing it, you are copying.
Yeah, that's true.
But people don't want to.
So, but was it, sometimes there are people that pay homage. Like, what 50 said, When Kanye said 50 said Banks told me switch the style up, Banks said it, but 50 did it.
Right.
So I'm trying to say, so I'm asking, like, was it you saying it? Was it like, what are you doing? Did you feel that? That's what I'm asking. Cause my thing is like, I feel like, so let me tell you why I say that, right? I could see Dame, shout out to Dame, kind of being like, yo, Justin, yay, is killing it, nigga. You better, what you doing? Like, I could see him hyping people up, so maybe it could come up like that, or was it something that you felt like? Because, by the way, when Ye did his interview with Drink Champs, he said, nigga, Just Blaze bit me. And I'm saying his name now because Ye said it. Ye said, that nigga bit my whole shit. And to be honest with you, I was like, that's who the leader was. Okay, because it don't matter who started. All it matters is, did we finish? But it matters who started to the starter. Now, when you the starter, nigga, you want to make sure. Because it's like, yeah, I know I walk for y'all to run, but nigga, let's not act like I didn't walk first around here.
We all know. One thing about football. Ain't nothing worse than seeing a man work, get a team all the way down to the one, then they get to this other nigga to jump across the top.
That's what it is.
You be like, what in the, really?
That's why Seattle didn't win that Super Bowl that year, because they should have just gave it to Marshawn Lynch.
You know what I mean?
They would have won, but they wanted Russ to be the Superman.
But again, like I said, you pride yourself in having your own thing.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And once you find that, you like a junkyard dog with your shit. You don't want nobody own it. Like, get away.
Yeah, it's mine. And not only that, I'm still trying to figure out how to maximize something that I'm excited about. Because just because I'm excited don't mean I'm going to maximize it.
But again, being on the number one rapper's album is a blessing and a curse.
Absolutely. Let's get into that. We already know what the blessing is.
Yeah,
we can look at your outfit. You're not missing a meal. We already tell you look really good right now.
Yeah,
but what is the curse?
The curse is, whatever you put on that album sets the precedence for the industry.
For the next 5 years at least.
However long.
Yep.
So everybody's gunning for what you did on that album.
Mm. That's true.
The Drake album sets the tone every year for
that's true.
What everybody else is going to be doing.
Drake, Kendrick, it's those guys. Justin Timberlake is one of those guys. That's just set. Beyonce, Cowboy Carter. Now she opened the door like they're artists that set the tone.
Right. And then you have those that follow.
Yep.
So the thing is, embrace the fact that you're following.
I was about to ask you that. So if that person went on the largest stage and said, shout out to Bink, because Bink is who inspired me to do 1, 2, and 3, does it change how you feel?
I mean, that was the only issue this entire time.
That's all you wanted was
just
don't act like you didn't get it from somewhere.
Don't act like you ain't. Don't act like this is a coincidence. Like, this is not a coincidence, my nigga.
By the way, I wouldn't like him either. I wouldn't like him either.
But the thing is, bro, I don't dislike
him. No. I'm saying I wouldn't like him because, like you said, what people don't understand about this shit is you just gave props to your mom. I'm pretty sure you made sure mom was always good. Am I right?
Right.
Nigga, what people don't understand is that when we win, we're not winning for us. Nigga, we winning for our fam. So when you taking food out of my mouth, nigga, you take it. That's my mother. Like, this is how it's personal because this is how I feed my entire family. Right. So this is my generational blessing, and you are taking it from me. And by the way, I'm gonna line up with you. I started this show because you wouldn't believe how many motherfuckers in this game have walked in my office or ran into me, got some information from me. And by the way, I gave it to them. It wasn't like they took it from me. I'm like, you should do this. But they did it, and they never said my name. And that bothered me. So now, it's how many times have we been on this show filming, and I gave somebody an idea, and they was like, don't tell nobody. Man, please. I'll be like, do this. You should do this. They'd be like, yo, erase that. Don't tell them. I'm like, no. I'm like, because they like, I don't want no one. They like, I don't want no one to hear that idea before I can do it.
Right.
And I'm like, I get that, but. Nigga,
you don't want to know that you told me to do it.
I don't think it's that. They don't want nobody. They don't want nobody to take the idea. They want to give themselves time to do it. Yeah. But my point is like when I sat with Damani. Then Damani and his brother dropped a song together a couple months later. Like I can say that now, and it can't be like nobody can say that was in the work. It might have been in the work, but when I interviewed him and I told him he should do it, he didn't say it was in the work. So I know I did it. So I did this not even for the audience. I did this to document for me because I'm tired of niggas coming in stealing the sauce. And because my mind is like, nigga, you ran with it. It's working for you. But you think about how different my life would be if you at your highest moment is like, man, I was inspired by that. I've never heard of the group Steel Pulse in my life. Never heard of Steel Pulse in my life.
What?
Never. I only know who Steel Pulse, and I never heard their music. I only know who Steel Pulse is because I managed two brothers from the Virgin Islands that said we sung every song like Steel Pulse. Man. I just gave Steel Pulse their credit. That's all we be wanting. That's all we be wanting. As you get older, you just want motherfuckers to acknowledge you did it. Because if you don't acknowledge I did it, then I gotta scream I did it. Which, nigga, and that's taking time away from me keeping doing it.
But that's all I got, though.
That's all I got. All I got.
That's all I got. So
true.
Like I told people, I said, listen, Dilla's kids can say that's my daddy shit.
Yeah.
My kids should be able to do the same shit.
Yeah, my daddy sound. That's real. That's I ain't gonna lie to you. One thing I tell you, I don't get mad at that, and I'm all good with competition. But like the reason why I love Ye so much is because he said I did this record for Hov and Can't Be Life, and he was like, I bit Dre drums. He said it. He was like, I bit Dre drums. Like, nigga, that's okay. Nigga, I be hate when I meet with artists. I'm like, who are you like? Nobody. Nigga, you didn't wake up out there. You didn't wake up.
First song he played.
Come
Give
on.
Me on.
Come on.
Fuck. Stick a few in
exactly. So that's what I'm saying. So when you look at it from that standpoint, just paying attention, it just becomes like you're not different, but I understand it. And I always wanted to talk to you because I call myself the culture referee, and there's nothing that I'm afraid to referee, but I also know that they like to paint the winners in our society of good guy, bad guy. And usually the good guy is the guy that they favor the most.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a black sheep.
Of course. And my problem is that's whack because you don't know what happened behind closed doors. And God forbid I'm knocking on something. If one day you demise, that's when the day he'll say it. Nah, nigga.
Who gives a fuck, man?
Say it when I'm alive. So I can, like, nigga, give me that, bro. Because guess what? Like you said, like, this is, I always say, this chapter is called legacy. That's the chapter it's called of my life. It's like, I need to be everything. Everybody in here is a part of my legacy, and I need to make sure everybody gets where they got to go because my legacy can't be Ray won for him and the people he was. No, my legacy got to be everybody that he ran with won. So I understand that. So I'm glad you cleared that up because it's funny because when you said it, I was like, and then Ye said it, and I was like, there's something there. Got to be something there. It got to be something there.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. And you know, for me, it was like there gotta be something there. But then I, you know, you start paying attention. And I'm a fan of him. I'm a fan of his. But I understand that.
I would be lying if I say that man is.
Nah, that nigga. That's, you can't take that away. That's being a hater. That is being a hater.
That's just being a hater. If I did some.
I'm not a hater. I just want my credit.
Never say that.
I'm not a hater, but I just want you to acknowledge that I was one of your first teachers, because you and I both know what's going on.
You and I both know what's going on.
But nigga, don't we?
But at the same time,
way back, nigga, Pop went in, nigga.
But at the same time, the silence I got from the rest of the rock was disappointing.
The silence you got from the what?
From the rest of the rock was just as disappointing. They all watched from the sidelines and just watched me say true shit and look like a liar.
Or like
I'm just on some bullshit. So nobody, you know, so nobody said anything.
I want to say this. Just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it won't happen. A lot of the times, like what I always say to people is that everybody in here is fighting a struggle. Some of us are fighting more than we know. Some of us are going through. There's nobody in here who's without a struggle. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the times, and by the way, I can relate to that, because there were times where I felt like I got the bad end of the business and everybody knew it was wrong and everybody was quiet. But then I had to remember, they probably trying to figure out how to feed their family, and it's my plight. So I'm gonna take it on. But if it's true, everyone knows it's true. And they probably are just trying to wait for the moment. It's fucked up. It's like, I hate to say this, but it's like all the shit that happened in the 80s and the 90s that's coming to play now. Mm-hmm. And people are getting their reparations from them days, because that was just how it was. You know what I'm trying to say?
I mean, because at the end of the day, when you wrap it up in a nutshell, is my truth disturbs somebody else's legacy.
Whew. And you become the enemy when your truth. To that person, and everybody is lined up with that person.
So do I be quiet because of that?
Nah, nigga, you come sit on a God show and let's talk about
it. You feel me? I'm just saying.
I'm with you. I'm for real.
That's why I'm saying I'm always be 10 toes on that. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I don't give a fuck how nobody feel about me. I'm not here for y'all niggas that like me.
But I understand that. But I will say this to you. I do think that you have to, and you don't have to, because you're a grown ass man and you do what you want. But I think that it's better for you to speak about it, because I feel like, look what happened with Dame. I feel like Dame is having a slight resurgence right now, right? Mm-hmm. And it's because everybody know something got done, because he ain't there no more. And then, you know, nigga fighting courts, your man, meanwhile your man's off to becoming worth not just a billionaire, but worth almost $3 billion, and you sitting here in front of courthouses arguing. Like, I can understand the anger, but sometimes you got to sit back and ask yourself, like, what did I do to contribute to what I'm at right now? And I think that, and I'm not saying that for you, I'm just saying that in the case of Dame.
But it's all accountability.
Yeah, but sure. I think that Dame becoming more transparent, because the only side we ever saw was Jay-Z's.
Right.
We only see the winner side. Like, nigga, you gone. We don't know what you're doing over there, but we know what he's doing. But then when he talks more, it's like, and when he talked to me, I guess I understood. His problem wasn't that Jay and him broke up. His problem was that the way they was raised, they was like, men handle men like men. And he felt like they jumped him. He felt like it was a plot against him.
Right.
Right? And they were close enough that they could have came to him, but he didn't like certain niggas. And then he realized that, hey, I love you, nigga, but he gonna help me make a billion and he gonna shut the fuck up. I'm gonna go with him for right now. And that's just what Jay did. But the point is that I would give the people from Rock, because they probably go, nigga, you think, I mean, imagine them. Imagine Freeway. Imagine fucking Young Gun, Beans, and these niggas that was in the middle of that shit. Like, love both of them.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
No Dame is right, but no Jay is the wave. Like, it's like Dame is right and he wants to see us we eat, but that nigga understands the wave and I want to ride his wave. And then you kind of get caught, and everybody fell by the wayside, because I think they was kind of like, I want to be loyal to the dude that I know was fighting for me, but this nigga's the wave and he is going to be the GOAT forever, so I want to go with him. And
I mean, at the end of the day, we all sitting back just hoping that these niggas work it out.
Period.
We all praying, like, just We hope that you see eye to eye on this at some point.
And I think that they both had one of y'all. I think that time heals all wounds and it go over. And I think same with you. I was like, I really believe right now there's a resurgence. There's an opportunity for producers, like real producers, yeah. Because we already know what we're dealing with. Yeah. We already know what we're dealing with. But like, what nuances or innuendos you can add to my song that I don't hear that might take it from a 7 to an 8 and then from 8 to a 9? Only a producer can do that. A producer that has done it. Not a producer, but a producer that has done it. So that's why I'm saying people like yourself, seasoned guys, hit making guys, guys that still got it. I can always tell somebody got it by how they dress. No, I'm dead serious. That's how I judge producers, by how they dress. If I don't want to dress like you, if you don't dress cool to me, then how you going to make cool music to me? Like, look right. At Timbaland, look at Pharrell. They both look and dress and feel interesting, and their music is interesting, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, look at that. So I pay attention to that. So I could tell. I'm like, oh, he in it. Nigga, you could tell when you sitting with an old nigga. I done had an old nigga too on the couch that was like, shit, it's over for this nigga. He don't even know. Cause in your mind, what they don't realize, I'm sorry to laugh. But what I'm trying to say is that what they don't realize is that they're projecting their oldness right here on camera.
They're the one with the stick with the big jeans.
Yes, big jeans. Yeah, you already know pocket. What I'm talking about, nigga.
The big back pockets.
You know what I'm saying? big jeans, pockets. They understand that, but I know you in it. I could tell. The coordination is still there. You still give a fuck. If you give a fuck what you look like, you're still gonna give a fuck what happens when you press play.
That part, but see, and that's what gets me in trouble. My integrity is far greater than the average when it comes to music and business.
I don't think you should change it.
I'm not.
I think you should wait till your time. Trouble. Yeah.
That's what gets me the name of hard to work with and all that bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Because
I never heard you was hard to work with.
Man, shit.
Nah, I'm being honest. I've heard your name come up. Because mind you, if I heard that about you, I've heard that about a couple people, and I'll ask, mm-hmm. What you mean? Like, is it like somebody told me, like, it was like, yo, Rakim moves at his own pace.
Absolutely.
It's like, if you work with Rakim, I don't give a fuck how much money is on the line. Rakim will move when he wants to move. That's what I've always, I heard it from 3 or 4 different people, just generally speaking. I heard Jay-Z is always on time. Nigga, if the meeting's at 3 o'clock, he's there at 2:55.
And quick, though.
And yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So that's what I'm saying. So for me, you hit her, but I've never heard you was difficult. I've only heard.
Not to cut you already. It's like the regular business now is for producers. Somebody call and say, hey, I like number 6. Okay, cool. Send a session.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah. No, hell no.
But that's regular now.
But that's my point. So here's an example. Here's why I say you're necessary. Now imagine you in a room full of young producers that have all done it that way. It's all predatory. You say, nah, that's not how we do it. Here's how you get paid. Because everybody complains about not getting paid, right? I'm not sending shit until y'all get my producer deck, my producer agreement, something over to me, and then I'll send. That's what you know, right?
That part.
We need to talk about it, but we know.
Because at the end of the day, we both have to protect our part of the investment.
That's my point. And these kids don't. So guess what? They out here. It's easy to do it. It's less work for you. You should be in a supervisor, executive producer role with a, like every time I talk to somebody, I'm like, just get in. It's a camp of kids out here who just want to work with you just to take a picture in front of your plaque.
Bro, a year, 2 years is normal for niggas to get their money.
That's so real. Once you get the files up, by the way, if producers you listen to this, you're not lying.
Do you know how long it takes for the motherfucker to do a long form contract?
Yeah, they stretch that shit out
for 6 months.
First of all, let me tell you why they stretch it out. There's too many moving parts. To get a long form done, that means your lawyer, artist, who now has the files from me, has to draw up something that they don't want to do unless you tell them to do it. Why do you tell them to do it? Man, this nigga gonna give me the session, man. I need you to get this nigga producer agreement done, man. I'm tired. He get on my nerves, but get him a. But the minute you send that session, you ask for a producer agreement. It's like paying money and not getting
a
clearance.
But the crazy shit is, Ray, you don't need a session to demo a record.
That's true. What you need a session without me for?
This 2-track sounds amazing. Like, what are we talking about right now?
Maybe one.
I don't need you moving shit around, my guy.
Nah, bro. By the way, I'm going to tell you.
And that's how they think. Like, yo, if this might be, I'm going to do what the fuck I want.
I'm going to do it for nigga. You know, producer nigga. Wow. Oh, nah. Now I can see that. Now, but by the way, if someone works like that, you shouldn't work with them. Travis don't work like that. Future don't work like that. These niggas are serious about their craft.
But this is what they used to. This is how they used to functioning. Used to functioning, taking your beat, dragging it back to their doghouse, close the door, and then come out and say, "Yeah, this the record."
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not the record.
Yeah. My man added some drums to it. Nigga, I'll be telling you, hey man,
what?
I'll be getting addendum. I'll be getting what they call it, addendums? Indemnification. I'll be getting, nigga, hey, I send you a record, I put on email, I'm sending you this record. You change anything, you're not getting no production. I don't care what you do to it, and I still got to sign off. So what you want to do? You want to work for free? That's cool with me. But nigga, I could do that. Don't change something of mine that I could have changed myself.
And my thing is, if it's about you just getting publishing, just say that.
Say that.
And I give you that.
And now we can talk.
And get the fuck out
so
the
now
way.
We can say, okay, this
now
is what I'm going to do.
You can get back the fuck out the way.
Now the record.
Here's
now the
five.
Record.
Here's your five and go away.
But can I tell you something? I'm going to tell you something.
Damn.
That's what he said. Working in the pop world changed my whole perception of music. That's why urban music is functioning. It's failing at a rapid rate more than pop music. Because in pop music, the song is the only thing that matters. Period. Because we're sharing the money evenly. Everybody getting the same percentage. Produces everything. In the urban world, it's 50 for the beat, 50 for the lyrics. So even now when we busting money off, so if I'm selling the record, like I'm like, they want 10%. 10% from which side?
Not my side.
Nah, you might as well take it from the producer. He got paid. I didn't. That's how I started getting paid. 10%. You want 10% of the record? Okay, cool. From who? From them and me or them?
From them niggas.
But they got paid. They got 30,000 for the beat. You could take 10% for them. I don't get nothing unless you want to pay me. And that's how we start getting paid.
And that's the real truth too. As a producer, all we got is the fee.
All we got.
There's nothing coming in the mailbox, my guy.
Yep.
Stream what? Like, nigga, the artist ain't even getting money off of streaming.
Nigga, the artist, you can't find too many. I always say, let's find one superstar. Find one superstar. Matter of fact, if you are an influencer and you do interviews, do me a favor. Find one superstar. When you do your little interviews, ask them this question. Have you ever received a royalty check? They don't. They get advances.
Bro, do you understand, Ray? When we agreed to streaming, we basically said, we don't need mechanical royalties no more.
Mm-mm.
We cool.
Oh, my God.
Y'all can have that.
But, and by the way, I'm going to just clear up a little bit. It wasn't streaming that changed that. It was the iTunes store. That's what started it. Because
I mean,
remember.
No more tangible. That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying, but the iTunes store made it where you can buy the song single. You want.
Yeah.
And now every song became its own business rather than the album becoming the business.
But think about it, Ray. We were still selling singles for $1.99, though, bro.
Still selling singles.
For $1.99, we're still getting $2.
$2 for a single.
So come on, man. Where we at now with it?
Nigga,
where we at with it?
We got to pay $15 a month. We can hit all, for $15 a month, we can hit every song in the world. Pay $15 a month. And by the way, you get every song in the world. And they all get 0.004. For that one stream I got, as long as it's over 30 seconds. If it ain't over 30 seconds, it don't count. So I gotta go. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's too many. Jermaine Dupri just said, he was like, why do the music business allow tech to control us? Like, why do the music business allow tech? And he's right. Like, now we got tech guys saying, anybody can be a producer, super producer. Though you just disrespected the fuck out of Quincy Jones, Jermaine Dupri, Bink. David Foster, okay, nigga, babyface. You literally just said, you can program this machine to do what they did, not knowing that what they did came from emotions which a machine cannot have.
I tell niggas all the time.
What we talking about here?
AI cannot duplicate feel.
Nah, they can't. They can't. And to be honest with you, I think that we are at that final place where, I'm telling you, by the end of 2024, I think that when we get to 25, the music business is going to feel like before the pandemic. It's going to feel like that because it's like coming to a party or coming to a place just to get rich. Like it's like the gold rush. Everybody went out west trying to dig for gold. And then you start realizing the motherfuckers that only wanted gold start realizing, man, I think I can make gold another way. I can just go buy some gold. I go get me a job, buy me some gold. But now I think what you should realizing is all these kids are fading off. Like, think about it. When's the last time we had a true viral sensation? I think the last one is probably still Sexy Red.
Oh, music,
viral sensation musically.
Where's the next new edition, right?
But that's what I'm saying. But the problem with the next new edition is that the people that can make new edition, the labels don't. Dog, here's the real problem with the music business. I'm sorry. the wrong people in power at these companies. The music business needs outside thinkers, free thinkers. Most of the guys that run these companies, that's why when Ron Perry took over Columbia, he turned that bitch up. Because Ron Perry was a fucking businessman. He wasn't a A&R guy who became the CEO who worked his way from the bottom to the top, right, that cares about every department and how it thinks. He was like, man, fuck all y'all. This is how we gonna run this company. And Columbia went on a run. He was the number one guy because he didn't play by the rules.
Right.
There's no rule book to this shit. But if you came up in the system, you, there are unwritten rules that you follow. And that's the problem with the music business. They're trying to, he didn't know he was doing right or wrong. And plus he just sold his company for $150 million. He ain't worried about getting fired.
I mean, that's the reason why, you know, corporate America will always be in the driver's seat, is because they know everybody got a price.
Mm. Everybody can be bought.
Everybody can be bought.
What's your price?
Man,
I'm just wondering. I'm like, let's get to it. What's your price?
I got here.
You got a price, don't you?
Absolutely.
You got a price to walk away from this shit? Man. I got a price too. Give me that. You can have all this shit, bro.
Nigga.
Long Rico, only Teron and maybe Sam, some say Sean, but outside of that, like, you have all this shit. Like, you have all, give me a, I have a number. Come so on. I'm with you. But they're going to buy it and it's going to die. So we need to start doing buybacks in our contracts.
We need to, like, stop selling.
Let me give an example. I'm gonna say no to that because we don't know why someone wants to sell. But I will say, you know the story of Barstool Sports? You know what Barstool Sports is?
Yeah, for sure.
So Barstool Sports, he sold the company for like $300 or $400 million, like nine figures he sold it for. Right. When they start running into a ground because they couldn't run it without him, they sold it back to him. You know how much he paid?
$15 million.
A dollar.
Oh my God.
He owns Barstool flat out again. He just got it back for a dollar. That's my point. See, what we don't understand is that we don't understand that just because I sold something doesn't mean that I can't eventually get it back. Because the reason why it has value is because I brought the value.
That's a special story.
No, but let me tell you something. I think it's special, but I think it's a story that black people would have never heard. And we need to hear it. So now we go into this shit. I'm like, hey, man, if y'all run my shit, if y'all take my shit to under 90%, if y'all drop my value of this asset I sold you under 90%, I need to buy that shit back and take it back. Reverse back to me. Because I sold you something that you just ran into the ground. Like, imagine if they gave L.A. LaFace back. Like, imagine. Like, just think about it. Like, what?
I mean, I think we have a bad habit of thinking we could do it again.
That's how I agree. Now, I agree with that.
And certain things we do is special.
It's
not going to do it again.
It's the right time in our life, the right moment in our life. Yeah. It's the right, it's like, KG was at the right moment. Jack's at the right moment. Everybody got to be at the right moment. And then once you get to a success, it's like, I don't know if I'm in that right moment again.
It's the reason.
I don't know if I want to start over again. I don't know if I want to do that again, yeah. Ray. I kind of like the way my life look right now. You want to go start over? Yeah, nigga, let's start. We got to do it again. Yeah. No.
It's the reason why Mike only got one thriller, man.
Yes. That's true. That's real.
You think he wasn't trying to do that shit again?
Come on, bro. And look,
he couldn't.
Come on, he couldn't. And he was open to the right ideas. Quincy was in the right time in his career. He felt like they counted him out. He had something to prove. Michael let the right people come in the room. It was like they had a plan and it was magical.
And you know what? A story of people, not to cut you off, people need to understand too about the Michael Jackson, Quincy Jones thing. Everybody within the infrastructure was saying, Quincy, he don't know what the fuck he's doing.
Yep.
What is he going to do with Mike? Yep. It was Mike.
Mike said, I want to work with him.
He's doing it.
Because they was on a Wiz. And Quincy was on a Wiz. And Quincy was doing the music for the Wiz. And exactly. Mike was like, I want him to do it. And what people don't understand was that about the first album that they did, Off the Wall, was a disco album.
That part.
Because they made it in the 70s. Mike was a kid, teenager, hanging out at Studio 54 every night at the Coke parties and all the shit. So he made Studio 54. So he made a disco album, but it's probably one of the rare disco albums that lasted the test of time because people don't consider it disco.
Outside of what? Saturday Night Fever.
Oh,
what you mean?
Bee Gees.
No, I know. The Bee Gees. No.
That's a disco album.
Oh, no. Yeah, true. Yeah. But here's what I'm trying to say. But even when you think about disco, you think about Saturday Night Fever. Yeah. When Absolutely. You think about disco, no one thinks about Off the Wall.
No.
That's what I'm trying to say. Because he had a producer that understood, I know trend is disco, right, but we got to make this shit last.
We got to make it bigger.
Yes. Take out less sounds. Make the song, make the vocal shine. This shit, man. I ain't gonna lie, man. See, as I talk about it, I get excited because it's not hard to do. It is hard to do, But it's not hard to do. You just need the right teammates.
Listen, I work with Chuck Brown on his birthday. Mm. With Chuckie Thompson. Mm. Rest in peace to both.
Yes.
And I had the pleasure of asking Chuck Brown, how did he come up with Go-Go? And he said, well, I realized that people dance more on the breakdown. He said, so I made one long breakdown. I said, you goddamn sure did.
You got to be fucking crazy. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, bro, how is that not being told? That's a gem that the whole world needs to hear. That needs to be, because that's true.
Listen, he said, just the drums. He said, and every once in a while, hit me with a chopped barbecue. Mm. I said, what's chopped barbecue? Chopped barbecue.
I said, what'd you say? Say that again.
Chopped barbecue. That's a go-go.
Okay, got you.
I was like, that's called chopped barbecue. Hit me with a chopped barbecue. I said, oh shit.
Oh, wow.
But he was like, yeah, he came up with one long breakdown for his records.
Wow.
I was like, that's crazy. Yeah, but think about it. Brick house don't go brick house until the boom, 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 boom. That's the section the chicks took.
Yeah.
I seen a whole lot of chickens trying to sit with
that
section. It ain't get funky till they got to the breakdown.
That's real.
Think about it.
That's so crazy. Set it off. Hold on. So I was going to tell you something. One of your records sounds like a breakdown. One I could think of. Lights, Camera, Action, Mr. Chief. It sound like the peak of the song, but that's the verse.
No, that's the hook.
That's the hook. But I'm saying, yeah. But like that shit sounds like a bridge. Like it just sounds like the peak of the song.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yes. So that was when he told me that shit blew me away.
Hold on. What did you? So he gave me his credit. Right. By the way, if anybody watches that, don't say nothing big. I got you.
Right.
If anybody watches this, and you hear anything from this. I'm not telling you, but I'm asking you, because we can't get this kind of shit if brothers like him don't talk. And the only way, and he's talking for free, so all he really wants is a head nod and a thank you for that information, because I use it.
I appreciate it, man.
You see Bink out, you do some shit, shout out Bink. I ain't gonna lie, by the way, you won't believe how many places I go and people tell me, man, what you said on such has changed my life. Sometimes that shit just make you feel like you don't, I mean, random people, like just walking down the street. Yo, Ray Daniels, hey man, I follow you, man, what you, but you be changed my whole way of looking at life. I'm like, damn, I don't even know this person. He said that and just kept walking. I'm looking at him like, are we connected somehow? Like, are we supposed to be friends? I don't even know what to say to the nigga. Like, because it's like he was thanking me and I really was just happy that he was watching. So it's kind of like a double thank you. But yeah, you give Bink his credit. I want to give him his credit. So I want to ask you I got a question for you. I'm going to challenge you a little. And I know you can handle it because I know when I'm talking to a purist. You're a purist.
Right.
By far. Give me your top five records that you did. Your top favorite Bink records.
Okay.
I'm going to give you mine too. I'm going to give you mine too. I'm going to pull my list out. I'll give you mine too.
I'm going to go with Rulers Back.
Yes.
I'm going to go with Lights, Camera, Action. South Jamaica. Santorini.
Yeah. Okay.
All I Need.
You better come on, don't do me that.
And Devil New Dress.
So I'm gonna go with you, but I'm gonna go away from you. Only thing I'm gonna definitely say, I'm gonna say All I Need.
Okay.
I'm not gonna say The Rulers Back, because I was gonna say that. I'm gonna tell you, Mama Loves Me.
Okay.
Dog, that record explains life. Mom Loved Me, Pop Left Me. Like he breaks down life. We don't give Jay enough. Jay is going 300 years from now, he's gonna be celebrated like Mozart. His lyrics is gonna be probably like the Bible for black people, because that nigga gave, if you was black, he gave you the blueprint on what to win. But let me get to my other ones. I'm gonna go to 1-900 Hustler. Okay. Hold on, I got your question. Whose idea was it for the nigga to say, hold on, this nigga put me on hold?
That was me.
That was you?
That's me talking.
For real? Like, I'm like, so what was the idea? What was the concept behind that?
Murder, death, kill, homicide.
Yeah. He's like, hold on, this nigga put me on hold?
Right.
In the middle of emergency, nigga? Like, this nigga, what, nigga?
Yeah. Hold on. That was Bing's idea.
For real? Yeah, I'm ready to say. That's crazy. So I'm going to say, I got to say Life, Camera, Action. And I got to say Don't leave. So hold on, how many is that, y'all? Dog.
That's right.
Whose idea was it to start? If you take Teddy. My... Nigga, that's incredible, nigga.
Teddy.
What, nigga?
The way that shit came together was crazy.
Boom. Boom. Hold on, that's not the original, though. That comes from... Does that come from Elton John?
No.
Who does that sound?
DeBarge.
Nigga, shut... Don't do that. Mary Sapp with a big... Elton John is the... Take me as I am. Just take me as I. That's Elton John, and that's also who Jay. That's also Jay-Z. Yes, yes. Benny and the Jets.
That's the one.
I'm like. I know she had a big one with Elton John. John. My bad. That's my bad. Yeah. Uh-huh. But yes, yes. I just can be me. All I could be is Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Don't leave. That is DeBarge. That's that's but Bunny, not El DeBarge. That's
Bunny DeBarge who actually wrote that.
Yeah. Yeah.
A dream.
Yeah.
Shout out to Bunny DeBarge for sure.
But Mary did that too, didn't she? Yeah, a dream, simple fantasy.
No. Rodney Jerkins came and did it later. Yes. On the one of those soundtracks.
But wasn't it? I thought it was a dream, a simple fantasy. Exactly.
Yeah, that's the actual original song.
Yeah, that's original. So that's the original. So y'all sampled from that. Oh no, you sampled from a DeBarge. So y'all was the first sample, and then Mary came after.
No.
Tupac. Tupac was first.
I ain't mad at you. Tupac was second.
See why you need OGs, guys? Yeah, I am. I'm a computer, but this nigga knows more than me. I'm like, that's why you gotta have him around. '97. But remember when Blackstreet did it, Pac was dead.
Okay.
'97, right?
We came on '96. Don Lee came on '96.
Pac died September '96.
We did
96.
It in '93.
What?
We did the record in '93, bro.
So Pac sampled it, and then it triggered y'all to bring it back.
Pac took two samples, because No Diggity was to toss it up.
This nigga is sober. That's, see, by the way, this is why I like doing this show. Because I love this shit. Like, cause that's so, because I feel like people don't be understanding that. People don't understand that.
See, they replayed it, though. So
no, that's
you
true.
You know what I mean? It was an interpolation more so with them.
That's true. So is there, so now I'm going to give you another question. Give me five records that you as a producer, and you'll appreciate this, heard and said, damn, I wish I did that.
Oh, man.
You already know.
The Benjamin is always first.
Shout out to D-Dot. What?
Crooklyn Dodgers, Q-Tip version.
Mm.
The one with Buckshot.
Yes.
Before I Let Go, man.
Frankie Beverly and Maze?
Yes.
Come on. Boom, boom, boom.
Like, come on.
Boom, just, boom, boom.
Just think about the energy of that record.
Yes. I don't give a fuck. We'll move
you in. For so many years in a row, it's the same
bro,
feel.
You can play that shit in the jail.
It doesn't matter.
The prisoner's going to start doing electric slide,
that
nigga.
That part.
It's like, it instantly puts you in the first line. You make me happy. What, nigga?
What would you consider beyond a classic? Because Before I Let Go is beyond a classic.
No, it is. But it's a Negro spiritual at this point, Before I Let Go is.
Absolutely.
But what I'm saying is
should
that.
Should be in the hymn book.
But what I'm saying is that, but only a producer would think about the construction of it.
Right.
That's what I like. That's what I like. Because only a producer would think about the construction. Because that's such a record that I've been hearing my whole life that I don't even put it in a science conversation. It's just so special. It's like when you hear that boom, boom. Nigga, it's so dope that Beyonce turned a live version into a song, nigga.
Had to.
Yeah.
You know why? Version.
She gave her version that Youth wanted. She didn't do what, because my mom hated it, which is what I wanted to happen. We loved it. Now you hear it so many times. Now my mom love it, and I think that Candy at the end. Shout out to Tay Keith for the flip. Mm-hmm. That shit changed it.
With the live band.
No, you keep going. Yeah. Get it. That's me.
Yeah. So my last one, I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
Houdini One Love, Larry Smith.
Ooh.
That's a perfect record, right?
Mm-mm. So I'm gonna tell you records that I think you would have did. Records that I heard that I'm like, this feels like Bing. Good Life, Kanye.
Really?
Yes. Like the 50s telling it, I could see it was a really pretty record.
Is that Tune?
No. Yeah, no. That is Tune. That's Tune in Kanye.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Good Life feels like something you would have did. What else is something that you would have did that I could think of? This is a Pharrell record. Jay-Z, Ambition. So Ambitious, 3 o'clock on the West Side Highway. you know, the motivation for, because I go see you, because it's empty.
Right.
It's like empty. Like, I don't know if you would have did that. I don't know if you would have did that. That feels more Pharrell, but the emptiness of it, the prettiness of it, sounds like you, bro.
I learned a lot from listening to Pharrell.
Yeah, Pharrell. What is it about Virginia?
I think Virginia is a lot like Cali because there's a lot of people that's not from there. It's a melting pot.
Really?
Yeah, we are a military-driven place. Like, we got the most military bases in the world. If we go to war, they're going to come blow us up first.
Really?
Absolutely.
So that's why it's something in the water.
You know, we got...
That's why I say it's something in the water, because the water... Okay, I get it now.
Look, NASA was there. FBI headquarters.
So basically, everything is important to you guys. That's why it's something in the water.
But it's like, you got so many different influences from all over the place because of the Navy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
I'm going to challenge you. I got to. Not producers... We're going to go Virginia Talent.
Let's go.
Now, the show is called The God Show. Mm-hmm. God is an acronym for goats and underdogs.
Okay.
I want you to give me Virginia's top five goats, and I want you to give me Virginia's top five underdogs, the unsung heroes who the world should know that put on for Virginia. Who are the five goats from Virginia?
Missy, Tim, Neptunes, myself. Knots.
Who's the last one?
Knots.
Knots.
Knots, yeah, producer.
Oh, Knots. K-N-O-T-T-S. Yeah. Okay, perfect. All right. Now give me the underdogs.
But
see, you named producer, because I was gonna say
well, you know what? Skills need to be.
I'm about to say skills
first.
Skills.
You know what I'm saying?
He was first.
Like he actually wasn't first. There's another group called Yag Foo Front. They had a video in BET back in the day. They were first. And then he came.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Sweet P. Whitaker is another one.
Sweet P. I love when I hear names I never heard. Because Sweet P. Whitaker family going to be like, you fucking right.
Bro, he was pound. He was Mayweather before Mayweather.
Oh, a boxer.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Why? It's two people that you're not naming that I'm waiting to hear.
Who, like Mike Vick Iverson?
No. What? Chris Brown and Trey Songz.
There's so many of us.
I'm gonna say it's like it's, y'all got some motherfuckers.
It's a lot of us.
But Chris Brown is the most probably most talented artist of all time.
Chris Brown,
and he's
the,
from Virginia.
He's the closest to Michael Jackson we're gonna get.
Talent wise, we're gonna ever see.
Period. So he's at Tappahannock. Shout out to
Tappahannock. Yep.
Yeah. You know. It's so many of us, man. Like for real, it's a blessing to be from Virginia. Like I wear that shit on my chest.
I appreciate that and. Virginia, like all you have to say is you're from Virginia, and that's like a code. I'm gonna listen to you at least. If you're a producer, you say from, I'm gonna listen.
Sad thing is, a lot of people still don't know me at the crib. They know I'm from there. They even know because kids don't research anymore.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
So and to know like, that somebody from Virginia influenced probably the most important rap album of the 2000s that shaped what rap is today. Nigga, they will be going crazy right now.
I mean, like I said, if I was acknowledging my proper perspective, then they would be like, damn.
Yeah.
This man is responsible for some shit. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I fight.
Yeah. But I get it, though.
You
but
know what
also,
I mean?
But also,
that part.
There's an underdog spirit in you because you understand that you've contributed so much, but because you weren't in front of the camera, there's a... Who again? What you mean? Like, nah, nigga, y'all don't understand. That was a huge contribution to what this culture is. So I have a question. Well, so before we do that, I want to ask you. So you have a project you're doing with you and Kevin Durant, another Virginian.
Oh, man, listen.
He's from DMV.
Right.
Because he's Maryland, DC. Virginia, right, kind of. Right. Okay.
So
that's my favorite play. That's one of my favorite players of all time. I love KD.
What happened was... he invited me out to New York. He and 38 Special,
yeah,
rapper. So we linked up. And we were supposed to do some shit together with Ransom, 38, mm-hmm. and myself. So I had a great session, you know what I'm saying, a couple of days or whatever. So after that, I get a call from Kevin Durant's people like, yo, Kevin Durant, want you to be a part of you know Nike commercial?
I'm yeah.
like, oh, okay, cool, that's what's up. So I'm like, what kind of beat he want, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So you know, they call me back. I'm like, so what kind of vibe you looking for? They were like, what? I was like, what kind of beat he want for the commercial?
They're yeah.
like, he's giving you a shoe. I said, what?
What?
They're like, yeah, he's giving you a shoe. Like,
hold on, let's clap for that. Shout out to Kevin Durant for that. By the way, this goes back to my point. I wanted to say this. This is what I mean. Sometimes you got to let time go by because some peers might not see it. But then here come this young dude from the DMV area that knows who you are. That's like, nah, you deserve this. And him saying you deserve this make Nike say, well, he has to because right. Kevin said he does. That's what we need more in our culture. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So he does, when his shoe drops, he does what he call a producer pack.
Yeah.
The last producer pack was Cardo Got Wings, Knife Wonder, and Boy Wonder.
Yeah.
This producer pack is Alchemist, Metro Boomin, and myself.
Mm.
So whatever the shoe is, he just gives you total creative control to flip it to whatever colors, whatever material you want to flip it to, but it's the same shoe.
Yeah.
But we just totally
customize. It's your flavor. It's produced by you.
It's produced by me.
That's hard. I ain't gonna lie, you know, we got shelves here. If you want to put a shoe on the shelf, man.
That part.
I'm all about it. Like, what? Yeah, I love KD, man. I think he's one of the most. I love that. You watch that show he has on Apple? He has a show on Apple that's it's a show based on his life. It's called Swagger. It's based on his life and him and his mom and DMV. I love him, man. I feel like he's the most misunderstood superstar that we have in NBA by far today.
Good dude.
Because he don't give a fuck. That's what people don't. They want him to care so bad, but he's like, bro, where I come from, bro, I'm just, me being here is what it is.
People don't understand the freedom you have with that.
Yeah.
Like the peace you get once you don't give a fuck about how somebody feels about you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like when you get there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's different. It's liberating.
Say that again. When you get to the place where you don't care what people think, you are at your most powerful.
Man.
Because first of all, the people that do are not going to judge you anyway. And the people that don't are looking for a nigga to laugh at today, but they'll be broke tomorrow and the next day and the next day.
And plus the people that do, you don't know them, so who gives a fuck anyway at that part? And I mean, so why even put energy into them?
I agree. You feel me? So we have this question. We have two last questions. The first one we call this segment called Credit Check. And I think you'll definitely appreciate this. I said earlier, we don't give flowers on this show. Mm-hmm. We give credit because credit can be leveraged. Flowers die eventually, but credit, right. Give my credit. Let me fuck it up again, but right. It's mine. Let me have it. So who are two or three unsung heroes in the Bink story that you just want to shoot some credit to because you just feel like they don't get it? Unsung heroes.
I mean, first, you know, I think my pops.
I about to say, mom, we got to go. Can we clap for mom? For mom? Because, like, giving you, the best thing a parent can give you is a gift as a child that feeds you as an adult.
Right. But not just that. It's just he never talked down to me about it, which is rare.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? His only thing was, like, at least get some type of hustle.
Yeah.
If you want to do music, do music.
Yeah.
But just don't be out here with your ribs touching.
Like,
you know what I mean? Like
some real man shit you would tell your son. Absolutely. Go for your dream, but don't be so dumb that you can't feed yourself at the end
right,
of the day.
Right, but that's the real reason why producing has been devalued. It's because these kids want to sit home all day and do beats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't want to work, right?
Yeah.
So with that being said, okay, they're willing to sell you a beat for $50.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Or license the same beat to 100 people for $20.
That part. You know what I'm saying? Because they need income.
Yeah.
They making this into, you know, a fucking donut shop now. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So, that's
true. You
know
what I mean? So it's like, that's why the music has been devalued, because you got so many guys that are willing to just give away their art for nothing.
Well, I think it all is rooted to streaming, like you said. Streaming, as much as we're paying for it, it doesn't feel like it.
Right, because
we could listen to it at our leisure.
If you're sitting at that mailbox waiting for a check,
yep,
you are in trouble.
Yes.
That's just the bottom line when it comes to that.
Period.
If you ain't a part of some records that got some good publishing attached to it, and you cash out with your publishing or to some degree or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Just producing records, all you have to look forward to is your producer fee.
Yes.
There is nothing
else. That's true. That's how you feed your family.
Right. So with that being said, why would I let you give me shorts?
Or give me a piece of the master and let's make money when it blow.
That's when they find the money.
Of course. Oh, nigga, I'm a manager. You see, I just did that,
that's
right?
That's when they find
the
money.
As soon as you ask for a piece of the master, we'll give you $2,000.
We'll give it to you.
Because nobody wants to let that, because that shit could be worth millions and millions of dollars.
Where else can you go in life and buy something one time for $2,000 and turn it into $1 billion without having to re-up?
That's real. Maybe an MP. if you selling the beats, maybe you could buy an MP for $2,000. But
you're still putting in work.
But you still got to put in the work. You're right.
I get it one time.
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
I paid you one time, and I flipped this shit into millions.
Yeah.
Without having to re-up.
Yeah. I agree. You're right. But that's what I'm saying. When you ask for that master producers, by the way, I think that's how it should be. If I was an artist, if I was a producer, nigga, if I give anything away for free, it's going to be released under my profile and their profile. We're going to make half the money.
I think it's just, it's smart. I heard that's what Giveon does. I heard Giveon, when he works with producers, he gives them a part of the master.
Shout out to Giveon for that, yeah.
Like here, you got 50% of the master, and you collect when I collect.
Yeah,
like,
forever.
Forever.
Now, it's our record, because Giveon knows he's going to go make millions doing shows and shit that have nothing to do with the record. That's just one part. That's how you live your life. So you need to go do that 100 more times.
But he's like a fucking unicorn.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, of course, my wife. My wife.
Shout out. Let's give it for a wife. Man, let's clap. KG, clap for the wife. We got to clap for the wife.
Got to have somebody to hold you down, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
And I'm going to shout out Kevin Thompson, man. I mean, Kevin is my lawyer. We've been rocking for a long time. You know what I'm saying? He used to be Francesca Spiro's assistant.
Oh, wow. That's...
Rest in peace, yes. Francesca. Great woman.
I want to ask you something before we ask the last question, because can you just expound a little bit on the wife, right? And the only reason I'm asking you that is because we have a lot of people in here who are trying to figure out how to chase their dreams and maintain a relationship. Mm-hmm. So obviously you shouting out your wife means that there's a success story in there. And I just like can expound on, like, when you say her, what were the things that you were thinking about that helped you? Because there might be a young producer that's like, or a young wife that's like, I don't know how to support my husband. I don't know how to support his dream. And I think that's a good opportunity.
I think the biggest mistake most producers make is not allotting some time for your wife. And you just keep saying, I gotta work, studio. You have to set time aside.
So she gave you balance.
Right.
She made you see the real world. Like,
right.
Almost like checking out a bink world and becoming your real person.
I'm not bink at the house.
Yeah.
I'm daddy.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like maybe that the last 5 years, my kids be like, can we go anywhere with somebody who don't know you? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's never on.
That got to be a good feeling, too.
It's not producer time. Like, if they ever came with me on the road,
yeah,
they would be like, damn, like, okay. It's different.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But like I said, at home, we ain't no music talk. It's all, yeah.
I hate talking about anything business in the house. This is our sanctuary for love and family. Whatever business happened, if we didn't handle it on the way in this motherfucker, then we'll handle it tomorrow. Ain't nothing we gonna do tonight anyway.
Listen, man, ain't nothing like, you know, the love from your kids, man. That's really what keep you going for real. You know,
I always tell people, when you get to that, the scariest place to be is when you're in your prime and you get complete in your personal life. Like, that's why a lot of NBA players, football players, that's why they all get married so early. Because it's like, nigga, you gonna be chasing championships or you're gonna be chasing chicks. You get you a wife, now you know who to build your family with, and that's who you is. So that's a very important part to us. So here's the last question of the day. And you answer it anyway, but I need you to answer it. So this is called the God Show, which is an acronym for GOATs and underdogs. Do you consider yourself a GOAT or underdog? And if you consider yourself an underdog, what do you think you have to do? What would you have to do for you to say, I'm the GOAT?
I feel like GOAT comes from longevity and consistency.
Mm.
I don't think you just being here makes you a GOAT.
Mm.
I think you got to put some points on the board as well.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And some type of impact as well. You know what I'm saying? So I think I would call myself the underdog GOAT, to be honest with you.
I love that. Because I understand it. Because it's like,
yeah,
where I'm from, what I've done thus far,
yeah,
that made me the GOAT. Like, if you see where I started to where I'm at, that's the GOAT. That's GOAT status. But I still know I got way more in the tank, so I don't want to settle for where I'm at.
And not just that. It's like, because I don't have a tag, because I'm not a producer artist, a lot of people can't attach my face to the music. That's why it's not until people actually look at my Wikipedia and be like, God damn, okay.
I got something that I think producers should do. I'll tell you to do this. You should create a bank. You should distribute your beats. Here's why. So say if you distribute 10 beats a year from Bink, people can take those beats, but now you have a perpetual license in every song, because just because there's no words on it doesn't mean it's not a complete 100% composition.
Right.
So you just gave them 100% composition. Now, everybody knows, go to Bink. Now I can download the music. I can remix the music, and now I can put it out. But now you have a blanket license. That person only gets 30% of the entire master of the song. And you got a blanket license. So now, bro, if I was a producer, all I would do is upload my music, and every year I would upload music, or every month, it depends on, and I would let people make, because it's like, it's a cover law, they're a cover law. So let me get an example, right? So let's say if Jay-Z, All I Need, let's say if there's a kid that wants to do that song, but with a guitar, All I Need, right. It's a cover of your song. It's a cover law that covers how you cover shit. So now when you put your beats out, anytime somebody raps on it, they're doing a cover of your composition.
Right.
So now if you got 100 niggas rapping on your beats, they're just making you money and you're not licensing it. It's different. They're taking your shit, uploading it. Now it's not even their shit. They can't even say, even if they rap on it, all they can ask for is publishing, but everything has to go through you. Because you took my original composition and you changed it. It's like when you post something on Instagram and they say post a reel or remix a reel, you have to do something on the reel that makes it different than the one that you're remixing.
This is spooky though, because Toomp, Cannon, and myself was just talking about this very conversation 4 o'clock this morning.
I talked to Toomp about this. I talked to Cannon about this, and I'm like, there should be, think about this, but imagine if it was a marketplace where producers can upload their beats. Now they got all their beats uploaded. Now, if I want to take your beat, I'm taking it, but now I'm just doing a cover of your beat. Nigga, I can't even go do nothing with that song without you, because if I make the song that blows up, nigga, it's your song that blew up. Their cover of your song blew up, which means you control all the rights, master publishing, everything rights, and now it's yours. And now
my father told me over 20 years ago, he said, man, because I don't know if it, I heard it's a unique thing, but when I hear something that I love, I get goosebumps.
Yeah,
like all up and down my arm.
Sure, me too.
My neck. So when I'm playing beats, sometimes my father ran in the room and hold his arms out.
Like, I love that.
You know what I'm saying? Like this one right here, boy. He would always say, "Yo, put it out. You don't need no words. Just put it out."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Pops, I'm not wearing no beats, man."
Nah, because what you're doing is, instead of you chasing, you're just setting up shop and saying, whoever wants, come get it. But I don't give a how far you go with it. It's still mine. You covered my beat without, and now it's a cover law. So,
yeah.
But I think like that. Like, I always think, like, how can, because there, it is fucked up, but it's the future. So we got to figure out how to work within it. And that would be my only advice.
Point taken.
That's crazy, right? Yeah. But I'll take a clap. Aaron, thank you for that. But, man, I just want to thank you for being on the show.
I appreciate this.
This is an amazing conversation. I love conversations where I learn, because you just taught me some shit. Shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to Tote & Carry. Shout out to Yoko Vodka. Shout out to Two Lost Distribution. Shout out to all you guys watching. Please like, share, subscribe. Follow Bink. If you get anything from them, just send them a shout out on Instagram and let them know you did it. Because that's all we doing this shit for, is to help y'all. But the motivation we get to help y'all is from y'all telling us that y'all learn from it. I do more of it.
It's called reciprocity.
It's called reciprocity. That's the word of the day. Try it. This is the God Show. We are out.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.